18. Brethren, let us hear the word of God. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Amen. Let's be seated, please. Dear children, a man named Micah spoke the words that we have just read. Micah was a prophet. A long time ago, prophets heard messages from God. Then they would tell the people God's message word for word. God gave Micah a message. Then Micah spoke all of God's words to the people of Israel and Judah that God gave him. He was faithful as a prophet. Later, the Holy Spirit helped Micah write the words down. Now, let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us listen. Father in heaven, as we come to thy blessed word tonight, as we come to this message prepared for our children, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us full attention to your word. Father, I pray that your light-giving and life-giving Spirit would deal with the hearts of all that are gathered here, but especially the children. Help us hear Christ's voice in his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trusting that the Spirit will help us hear Micah and the other passages we read this evening, we can learn a great deal about the true God from what Micah wrote. Now, children, in our last message, we asked a question. Does anybody remember what that question was? How may I know God? How may I know God? Now, we learned that we could know the true God in three ways. Does anybody remember one of them? Children? Any? His Son. That's right. What else?
His creation.
Good. His creation. One more. His Word. God's creation, God's Word, and God's Son are the things that we considered last week. How easily we can forget them. But I urge you, children, think carefully and give your full attention to the things that we will study together. Parents, I urge you to take the very simple outlines that we're using and ask your children about them. It will provoke good conversation and hopefully will stir their memories. Well, we're going to ask another question tonight. That question is, what is God like? What is God like? Now, we have prayed and asked for God's help. Now we will go to His holy word. Since we can learn about God, since we can know Him from His creation, from His Word, and from His Son, we will come to His Word this evening. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, We trust we will look not only at the Word, but at God's Son as well. And then we will begin to learn what God is like. So we will call this message, What is God Like? Let us remember these three things. Children, be ready for next week. God's nature, God's character, and God's work. God's nature, God's character, and God's work. May the Lord be pleased to help us as we think about the first one, God's nature. Now, our catechism asks, are there more gods than one? I trust at least some of you are familiar with that. The answer is clear. There is only one God. And we know this because the Bible tells us so. God is the one and only God. Micah asked this question, Who is a God like unto thee? He means, God is so great. God is so mighty. God is so good, even to his enemies, that no one else is like him. No one. There never has been anyone as great as God is. There never will be anyone as great as God is. The God of the Bible tells us that He is the only true God. He says, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Isaiah 46:9. King Solomon once said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath. And we could spend a long time looking at verses that say that. Dear children, this is why God gave us the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. The God of the Bible is the one and only God. Many claim to be gods that are not. By nature, they are not God. And we want to understand at least a little about God's nature. Children, all others that profess to be God are false. This is so very important. Rocks are not God. Sun, moon, and stars are not God. Animals and other created things are not God. Idols made by men are not God. And yet the vast majority of people in the world worship gods like these instead of the one and only true God. God asks us, Is there a God beside me? He answers his own question. There is no God. I know not any. If the God who knows all things doesn't know any other God, there cannot be one. Now, this one and only God is life itself. He exists by His own power. All life begins in Him. He has all the power to live, and no one helps Him live. No one helps Him be God, or He wouldn't be God. He does not need anybody else. Everything that lives gets its life from Him. All life depends on Him because He is life. But He depends on no one. No one but Himself. No one can tell Him what to do. No one can change Him. He never gets stronger. He never grows weaker. He never gets tired. This is the God of the Bible. This is the only true God. Even at this point, I must ask, is this the God you know? Is this the God you worship? No one is like this God. Why is this so important? Because to worship any other God is wicked. God says it is wicked. To worship a false God will bring God's punishment. God will punish all people who worship false gods. He will punish all who hear of the true God and will not believe Him. We must worship, love, and trust the only true God. Let's consider that God is a spirit. Remember when we said some things are hard to believe? Some things that we will think on about now are like that. And that's all right. I pray the Holy Spirit will come into our hearts and give us light. The Catechism for Boys and Girls asks the question, who is God? The answer is, God is a spirit and has not a body like men. Now, how do we know this? Because Jesus, God's Son, told us, God is a spirit. John 4:24. Now, that is a simple sentence. God is a spirit. But what it means is very hard to understand. When Jesus rose again, He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Luke 24:39. A spirit, then, does not have flesh, bones, bodily parts. Now, this is very important. Why should I make this point? Because, children, you need to understand that God is not a big man. There are many places in Scripture where God says that He is not a man. He is not a man that He should lie. God is spirit. That's very hard for us to understand because none of us knows exactly what spirit is. He's the Creator, but He's not a big grandpa sitting on a big chair somewhere. That's the way some people think when they think of God. He is not a big man. He is a spirit. God is not only a spirit, He is triune. Now that's a word that children don't use very often. I understand that. It's one that unfortunately many adults are not familiar with. But it simply means unity in three. Three in one. That's what the word Trinity means. Though the Bible does not have the word Trinity, the idea is very clearly in Scripture. Now, our catechism asks another question. In how many persons does this one God exist? I could probably call on some of you and have you stand up and you could give us the answer. I won't do that tonight. But in three persons is the Bible's answer. And I hope you know that answer, children. Now, this is hard to understand, is it not? God is one God. Yet He exists in three persons. God exists as Father. God exists as Son. God exists as Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we try to explain this by comparing God to something that we can understand. It may be a little helpful sometimes, but all human examples fail. All of them. Because they can't explain God. It is important for you to understand that the God of the Bible is a mystery. There are things about Him that are very hard to understand. If we could understand everything about God, we would be God. It's equally important to know, children, that the Bible does not teach that there are three gods. Now, at this point, you may be confused, as are all of the adults. How can you have one God and three persons and not have three gods? That's all connected to the idea of the fact that God is spirit. We are flesh and bones. We have bodily parts. God does not. God is different from us, and you must know that. He is so different that He is worthy of all our praise and of all our thinking. We should fix our minds on God. One of the reasons we do things that we do, one of the reasons we live the way we live, is because we don't think about God as He is. We might have a word, God, in our minds. But if it goes no further than that, friend, you just worship your mind, which is a false god. We must know the God of the Bible. Now, parents, you need to be ready to sit down and talk with your children about some of these things. God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there are not three gods, and God is not a big man. Now, if you can go home with that much tonight, you will know more than many people that have sat in churches for many years. It is wrong thinking to believe that God is three gods. There is but one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God is one Lord. Yet, there's a person called the Father, and He is worshipped as God. There's a person called the Son, and He's worshipped as God. There's a person called the Holy Spirit, and He's worshipped as God. Do you find this hard to understand, children? Well, adults struggle to understand this as well. Three persons, one God. Spirit with no bodily parts. He always has been, He always will be. That's hard to understand, but it's what the Bible teaches. This is our God. Do you worship this God? Our message last week was about knowing God. Do you know this God? This is why we need the Bible and God's Son, so that we can know what God is like. Well, we find all three of these holy persons in the Bible. Jesus told His disciples to go into the world to teach people about Him. He told them to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19. He told His friends about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, John 14:26. Of the Holy Ghost, He said, whom the Father will send in My name. All three of those persons in that one verse. Now, we could find many verses like that in the Scripture. While it is hard to understand, it is the plain teaching of Scripture. We may not fully understand God, children. None of us in this life will. Even so, by the Word and by His Son, we may learn the most important things that He wants us to know about Him. And that brings us to God's character. God's character. God's nature is difficult to understand. And God's character is as well. Now, we've seen that God is a spirit, not a man. He has always lived. He always will live. There is not and cannot be any end to His life. He is one God, but He is three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, let's ask our question again. What is God like? We know a little bit more. Let's dig a little deeper. Now, let me speak for the benefit of our older children just for a moment. When we talk of God's character, we mean His attributes. God's attributes are His qualities as a person. We cannot study them all, but we can think about a few important ones tonight. The first thing we want to consider about God is that He has all power. All power. The Bible tells us that God has all power. He can do anything He desires to do. He made all that now exists. He can destroy all things by a single word. No one has more power. No one can stop anything God wants to do. He controls everything in the universe. Children, do you believe that? There are many people sitting in churches, maybe even this evening, around the world, that will hold up the Bible and say, I believe this book. But when you tell them that man's will does not stop God's will, they don't believe it. There are people that believe that God and the devil are locked in some kind of big battle and we have to hold our breath to see who wins sometimes. That's worse than fairy tales. The God of the Bible rules everything, including the devil. He's got all power. If anything could defeat God at any point, that thing would be God. It's hard to understand, isn't it, children? But this is an important thing to know about God. Because I'm going to call you to trust Him with your eternal soul. And you want someone who has all power to be your Savior. God also has all knowledge. The God of the Bible knows everything. Now, there are men today in very important schools that don't believe this. They make very large paychecks, and they say that they're Christians, and they spend their time studying the Bible to try to convince people that God doesn't know everything. That's very sad, because they are worshiping the false gods they've made up in their minds. But you don't have to be someone like that to do the same thing. You can be a child who says, I hear what the Bible says, but I think God is like this. Adults do that. You can show them in the Bible, God says, or God does, and they say, oh, but my God would never do that. What are they saying? The God they've made up in their minds is their God. But the God of the Bible knows everything. He knows everything. He never forgets anything. He never learns anything, because He knows everything. He always knew everything. He knows what has been. He knows what will be. He knows what could be. He especially knows us. Children, it's important that you understand with all your heart. I want all of you to listen. Some of you are looking down. Some of you are distracted. Listen carefully. God knows what we think, what we say, and what we do before we ever think it or say it or do it. God knows everything. There may be some things that you have tried to hide from mom and daddy. There may be some things you've tried to hide from your brothers or sisters. Adults, you do the same thing. You act sometime when no one's around like nobody can see you. But God always sees you. God always knows everything. Everything about you and me. Now, one of the reasons I'm telling you this is because the Bible teaches it. But there's something else you need to know. Even if you think you're keeping a secret that no one else can see, you need to learn to live every day knowing that God sees what you think, He hears what you say, He knows what you do, and that will all be exposed in the day of judgment. He knows everything, and He forgets nothing. Is that the God you know? That's the God of the Bible. He knows everything. Always has, always will. Hebrews 4:13 says, all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. What does He see when He sees me? What does He see when He sees you, children? Does He see an honest, obedient child? Does He see a wicked child? He sees us. We might be able to fool each other, but He knows everything about us. Every good thing, every wicked thing. Not only that, God is present in all places. This is another one that's very hard to understand. God has all power. He has all knowledge. He knows everything. And He's present in all places. You and I can only be in one place at a time. But God is present in all places at all times. That gets very big when you start to understand the universe. At least at this point, children, scientists tell us that our universe is billions of light years across. Now, children don't usually think in terms of light years. But let me just say this. As big as you can think, as broad, as high, as deep as you can think, there isn't a place where God is not. So someone with all strength and all knowledge is in all places at all times. That's hard to understand. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's the God of the Bible. Children, do you know that God? That's a very wonderful thing to know. You know, that means when there's a Christian in China praying with all of his heart to God, you don't have to wait till he's finished for God to hear your prayer. He's right here and hearing you as if you were the only one praying. He's a God that's very near at all times. Children, I hate to confess this, but adults should make these confessions from time to time. Most adults have very small thoughts about God. Very little thoughts. And I want you to have very big thoughts of God. God wants you to have very big thoughts of God. He wants you to trust Him. If you knew and if you believed that He had all power, that He knew everything, that He was in all places at all times, that would be somebody that we should trust. Wouldn't you think so? Yeah. What can we hide from a God like this? The answer is nothing. He knows everything about us. He's everywhere. God is also wise. This is very important. When we say that God is wise, we mean that He uses everything He knows the right way. People don't do that. But God uses everything He knows the right way. All His power is governed by wisdom. Have you ever known somebody that was mean? Wouldn't it be terrible if someone mean had all power? That would be frightening, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a scary universe to live in? If the one who had all power was bad and wicked and used that power in bad ways. You give men just a little bit of power and the first thing they do is use it for wickedness. But God's not like that. He's wise. He knows how to use His power. Not only that, He knows how to use what He knows. He knows everything. He's in all places. He has power. And everything that He knows and His presence in every place is wise. We can see His wisdom in the things that He made. If we look at the human body, if you study the human body as you get older, children, it is amazing. You begin to see the wisdom of God in ways that will make you praise Him. The way He made the universe. If you just study the world that He made, you will be amazed, overwhelmed at His wisdom. Just stop and think about how a spider gets lunch. Watch them make their webs. Watch them crawl back up on their webs and wait until some unsuspecting insect flies into their web, and then watch the way he goes. He doesn't eat his dinner all at once. He saves a little bit for later on. The wisdom of everything around us, what God does. He's wise. Now, that brings us to something else about him that's very important. Now, all these things about him are important, but some of them are especially important for children to understand. God has all power and all knowledge. He's present everywhere. He has all wisdom. This is why we call him sovereign. Now, parents, ask your children about that word later on. Sovereign. Remind them of that word. The precious children, this means that He rules absolutely everything. He rules everything and every person. Nothing escapes His rule. It's obvious, isn't it? Since He has all power, since He has all knowledge, since He is present everywhere, and since He has all wisdom. He rules over everybody. Nobody can compete. The Bible says that God worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians 1:11. King Nebuchadnezzar learned that God doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Children, I hope you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a very proud king. He thought that by his own wisdom and by his own strength, he'd set up the kingdom that he ruled over. And so God decided to show him that he wasn't as powerful as he thought. And he gave him the mind of an animal. And this great king that at one time thought he was really something was to be found out in the field, crawling around on his hands and knees and eating grass. Wouldn't that be a strange sight? God can do that to men if He wants to, because He's sovereign. Oh, that's one of the most important things to know about God. And that's why hand in hand with this is we must know that God is good. As I said a moment ago, someone that has all power needs to be good. And God is good. He uses His power for good things. How comforting it is to know that one that has all power is good. How comforting it is to know that the one who knows everything about me, knows everything about you, is good in the way he handles that knowledge. You know, children, you find out things about people sometimes, and you're not good about the way you handle what you know about them. Oh, we want to be able to be good like the one who made us. And something's wrong with us. We'll study that in another message. But there's something very wrong with us. We're not good in and of ourselves. Some of you know how very hard it is to try to be good. But God is good. He's always good. He's never anything but good. No one can take His goodness away. His goodness never gets any weaker. His goodness never grows. It's always wonderful, complete goodness. Same thing with His mercy. Now, at this point, you might be saying, well, you're saying a lot of things. I can't remember all this stuff about God. Well, that's part of what I want you to see. He's big. He's enormous. He's huge. He's immense. Everything about Him is past what we can comprehend. But if we don't know that, we won't think much about Him. Moses asked to see God's glory, so God put him in the crevice of a rock. And when he passed by Moses, he said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now you see, this is why we need the Bible. Over and over, the Bible tells us about the character of God. It tells us about the nature of God. It tells us about the God who made the heavens and the earth. And it tells us about the God before whom all of us will stand. We're going to stand before this God. You want to make sure you're thinking about God the way He is. Not just the way you want Him to be. Adults, that applies to all of us as well. It isn't simply children that can get strange and idolatrous and ungodly ideas about God. But children, it's wonderful to know that someone who has all power is a merciful God. Mercy. Mercy. Something that all sinners need. Love. The Bible says God is love. 1 John 4:8. His love is bigger. His love is wider. His love is deeper than anything we can imagine. God's love is a kind love. It's a strong love. It's a knowing love. He knows that you're wicked and shows you goodness anyway. We should all be in hell. And it's just the goodness of God that we're meeting here tonight, hearing about the real God. What mercy! And He used His power to do that. He could have put everybody in Pensacola here tonight. He could have emptied the other continents and brought them over here and put them in one place and had a man stand up and tell them about Christ. He didn't do that. We're here and we're hearing about God. Oh, let's listen carefully. This God is a God of love. His love is strong. His love is great. His love is like no other. His love never fades away. It never gets weaker. Why is it important to know that? Oh, there are many reasons. But one of the reasons to know is that if God loves you, that love will never, never, never pass away. It doesn't change like human love. It doesn't get stingy like human love can. Well, the last thing that we'll think about as far as His character goes, children, is the fact the Bible tells us that God is holy. There is nothing bad in God. 1 John tells us there's no darkness in Him at all. None. God is completely good. He never has a wicked thought. He never says a wicked word. He never does a wicked thing. He is separated from all bad things. That's one of the things that will be so wonderful about heaven. He'll be there in all His goodness, and we won't sin anymore. And there won't be any sinners there. There won't be any bad people, bad thoughts, bad words, bad deeds. All those that believe Him and know Him at that time will be like Him. They won't be Him. Nobody will be Him but Him. But we'll be like Him. We'll be holy. You see, children, God hates evil. God's holiness shines brighter than everything else in His character. His love is a holy love. His anger is a holy anger. Human beings get angry sometimes, and it becomes very bad and very sinful. Not God's. Even God's anger is perfect. You see, this is why Micah can say, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" A holy God that forgives people. I think of all the things that are hard to understand. For me, that's the hardest. How can the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, all-good, all-holy God ever forgive a bad person, a wicked child? Children, do you love those who are mean to you? Do you love those that say bad things about you? Do you love those who are mean to you? God does. That's one of the reasons heaven is so full of the shouts of the angels. Holy, holy, holy. They're amazed at God. And that brings us to His work. And this is our last head. We have considered God's nature, God's character, and now we want to think for just a few moments on God's work. Stay with me just a few more minutes, okay? You're being very patient, and I'm thankful. The Bible tells us that this God does great and mighty things. We could spend all the rest of our day studying the great and mighty things that God has done throughout history. But we just want to consider two tonight. Creation. God is the creator of heaven and earth. With all this mighty power, He made everything that you see in this universe. He made all the stars, all the planets, all the galaxies, and all of the glorious and beautiful things on this earth, mountains and seas, rivers and continents, the beauty of the polar caps, the heat of the equator. He made all of it. All of it reflects His power and His goodness, His wisdom. But God didn't make everything just to show off. He made this earth in order to show His greatest work. He said, "Let there be light." He divided the firmament from the waters. He divided the sea from the land. He filled the earth with creatures, but not just to show that He was good, that He was mighty. He made a place where He could show His greatest work. And you know what that great work was? Saving sinners. Redemption is the great work of God. Oh, children, God's mighty work in saving sinners is His greatest work. Here is the best way to see what God is like. Do you really, really, really want to know God? Then look at Jesus Christ. Remember what we said last week. We know God in creation. We know God in His Word. And we know God in His Son. The creation is where God's great work of redemption takes place. And it's His book that tells us. That's why all of this is here. We don't have to wonder why there are trees and birds and mountains and rivers. It isn't just because God likes nature. It's because He made a place where He could show His great glory, where He could show all of His attributes coming together in one person, Jesus Christ. Micah says, "Who is a God? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" That's what makes him say that. It isn't just all the great things we can say about God. And we can say many. I haven't said nearly enough tonight. But it's that this God uses His power, His knowledge, His wisdom, His being in all places, His love, His mercy, His grace to forgive sinners. God forgives sinners. How can He forgive bad people? If He's so good, if He never does anything wrong, how can He possibly be good? Or how could He possibly forgive sinners? Does He just look the other way? He can't do that. He can't do that. Because He's holy. You see, children, before God made this world, before that great work of creation, God planned to save sinners. That's what it was all about. And God the Son saved them by dying on the cross and being raised again the third day. And the Holy Spirit comes anywhere, everywhere, when God's ready, and changes hearts so that sinners will believe on Jesus. Oh, that's wisdom. That's power. Any sinner, any time, anywhere, any way that he wants to, God gets the truth to them. You see, God is holy. Heaven shouts it. And because He's holy, He hates sin. Wait a minute. Children, every one of you is a sinner. Every adult here is a sinner. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, every one of them, is pure. Does that mean He's angry with us? Yes. It is a tragedy that many people say they believe this book, and yet they don't believe that this holy God is angry. And yet, the psalmist said, God is angry with the wicked every day. Now stop and think with me just for a moment, children. Oh, there's so many things to worship and praise and bless and honor God for. All of these things we've talked about. His power, His knowledge, His presence, His wisdom, His love, His mercy, His grace. But He's holy. And if you will not believe Him, all the power in the universe is your enemy. That's very sobering. And children need to know it. And adults need to know it. And preachers need to get some backbone and preach it. What do we do? We come to the book. And we get the truth about this good God. And we find out that in Jesus Christ, there's mercy, there's love, there's grace, there's pardon for sinners. God says, change your mind about your sin, children, and believe. Believe on this God. You see, when we look at Jesus Christ, we see all of the wonderful things about God coming together in one person. It's incredible. The thought is overwhelming. What's God like? Oh, we've seen many things about Him tonight. But children, stop and think. God punished His own Son, Jesus, on the cross. He punished Him with all His power. That's why Jesus had to be God. No man could have ever endured all of that. God's holiness was satisfied when He punished Jesus, so that every sinful person who will look at the crucified Christ, look at the risen Christ, and trust Him for the forgiveness of sins will be pardoned. God says it. Men are liars, but God isn't. So, there's no other God, and you need to know that. No other God can save you. No other God has the power, the knowledge, the presence, the wisdom, the love, the grace that the God of the Bible has. Not one. And no other God punished His own Son so that His enemies might become His friends, so that His enemies might become His family. That's a good God. That's a great God. That's a God you should follow with all of your heart. Trust in Jesus alone, children. And the God of the Bible will forgive your sins. There in Jesus, you see God's love, God's goodness, God's power, God's wisdom. Look there. What is God like? Look at Jesus. And your soul will have all the information that it needs. Let's pray.